Oh my gosh, if you guys could only know what goes on before the show goes live. Oh, this is so exciting. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. I can't even talk now because of what was happening. I'm Julia Cannon, and this is my co-host, Tracy Mahan, who needs to.
I was brooming. I want to look good for you guys.
Yep. I mean, I think you guys do this on purpose, just to throw me off. So,
well, it is all about you and what we.
It can is. Do. It's all about me. I know.
It's see what we can do to throw you off, to see if we can get you to focus on something, Julia. Focus. Anyways, I'm tired. So Julia's going to take the show.
Yeah, I'm going to take the show. Ha. I think we've proven the focus thing.
What?
Oh my goodness. Okay, guys.
No.
So excited you're here. Is. Hey, if you're here, let us know that you're here. So that, yeah.
I've been eating chocolate
covered blueberries. Mm. It's healthy food.
It is. And it's dark chocolate. Yeah. It's good for me. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I'm a little jacked up on that. You know, chocolate can do that for you. Hi, everybody in the chat.
Yes. So, yeah, come on over. You want to tell them where to go? Because I don't.
Oh, my mouth's full.
You do that so well.
Okay. I would love to. Sorry. I should have finished my snack before we got started. So we are over on Facebook at BBS Radio TV, and we are doing a live video stream from there. I posted it over on the Dolores Cannon page, QHHT page, Julia Cannon page, Tracy Mahan page. So if you can't find us, which obviously you have because you can hear me saying this, so you found us. And hopefully you're sharing it with everyone you know. So there is a little share button on there. We want to see if we can really jack up the audience tonight. Like, let's get everybody on board, share it, get your friends to watch, because we're going to talk about garbage today.
Literally.
Dumpsters, garbage, the whole bit. So,
yeah.
Tell everyone.
And hey, if you're here, when you come over to the one that we can see, your chat, tell us where you're from, because I love that. Well, I think Tracy loves it too. So, I mean, it's like, that's super cool. Oh, she doesn't wonder any way or the other. She just wants to know you're there.
No, I was going to go into this whole hippie mode and go, we're all from source, right? We're all from source.
We are all from source. But where are you temporarily residing on this 3D planet Earth or 5D planet Earth, wherever we are right now? What do you call home? Oh, that's going to throw that in the other direction too. Where is your residence?
Come on this planet? Specific. Okay. Yeah, well, Northern Georgia. We got that.
Yay.
I'm going to shout out to Chris, because Chris is my friend from high school. And yeah, I'm really pulling you out of the shadows, Chris. And I've been talking to her all day about my dumpster. Really what happened was I had called her, I think it was yesterday, and then it went to voicemail. Now, has anybody ever had a voicemail experience with Tracy? I think I can talk a lot on a radio show. Give me your voicemail. So I filled up her voicemail with all kinds of chatter. But in that chatter, I said, so the dumpster got delivered today. And so then she called me back and I couldn't answer. So she filled up my voicemail.
That was only fair.
Touche, right? Mm-hmm. So I thank you, Chris, for always being somebody that is well matched to me, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I was definitely rolling by the end of it, because at the end she says, and by the way, why a dumpster? You need to talk. So,
yeah. So dumpster, we're talking now.
We're going to talk about the dumpster, because I ran out of room on Chris's voicemail.
Yeah. And we were talking about this today, and it was like, this should be the theme of our show, because you know, there's metaphors in everything. There are things for life in everything. And this is such a big deal. I mean, when you go to the length of getting a dumpster, now you mean business.
That's right. Yeah. It is time to mm-hmm. clean house. Now, mm-hmm. you had asked for a little input from our audience. So, yeah. I'm sorry, I'm saying I love an empty dumpster. Okay, so we got Northern Georgia. We got Black Hills, South Dakota. We've got New York.
Cool.
We have Idaho. We have California. We have Australia. We're not going to have a dumpster fire. Oh, God, I hope we don't have a dumpster fire. No dumpster fires. Okay.
Is that a thing?
Huh?
Is that a thing?
Well, it looks like one on this comment. There's a lot of fire in the dumpsters, but yes, no dumpster fires. And you know, there's rules with dumpsters. And I was like, what? Look at this, like this rules. You cannot put this in there, or that in there, or this in there, or that in there. And I'm thinking, well, what then? Why did we get a dumpster?
Yeah.
And even with all of these restrictions to the dumpster, we still managed to fill the dumpster. Just saying. So,
well, see, I was thinking, yeah, see, the fire, the dumpster fire could help you make room in that dumpster.
Or a little bit more. Okay, Corey, you're on to something. Yeah. Better I can just pay for another dumpster and maybe avoid down the neighborhood. So, yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, they don't let you throw all your chemicals in there and your paint and all that, you know, which I wasn't going to, I already knew that. But
that's where you get your dumpster fires from.
Yeah, so that's what would start a dumpster fire, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. But I discovered that we had mice.
Ah.
But I don't think any of them survived my garage. So I'm telling you. So I've been going through this thing where I've been updating rooms here and there and here and there. And each little room gets a nice little fresh coat of paint and blah, 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 a little makeover. And the house is the metaphor for ourselves, right? And so that's where we're going today. We're going to talk about clearing out the house.
Yeah, but you're – okay, yeah, the house you've been working on, has everything that you didn't need from those other places you've been working on all go to the garage? Or what has the garage been? I mean, what has filled it? Is it
everything has filled it? Okay. So it's
otherwise. I was going to say, what does the garage represent within the house? You know, so it's,
yeah, it represents the great purge. The great purge is what.
Okay,
we'll call it.
But what I mean is, like, the garage to a house. What does it represent? So, what would it represent? Meaning, you. What would the garage represent? What would it be? You see what I was trying to say?
I am. And you know what? I have a book that might actually tell you what the garage
is. Oh, okay.
Let me see if I can muster that up, then we're in great shape.
What do you guys think?
And then I don't have to answer the question.
And let's ask our group here. What do you guys think a garage could represent? What does it mean to a house? And what do you think it could represent regarding you, your body, whatever it is? It's, you know, we're saying the house is a metaphor.
Okay, so in this particular book, it doesn't have the garage, but it does have a basement. Do you think it's the same thing?
No, because that's sub-level.
Okay.
And that's an important detail.
Okay, so it doesn't have the garage on here, but...
Okay, so we're going to have to put on our own caps and just kind of do some thinking about this.
Memories is what we got on the chat room, and elimination system.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, we, okay, so.
I like the memories too, because.
Out. Okay, so it's where you bring things in and take things out.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not liking this. We're putting them to work.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, it is. I love to always get other people's viewpoints on things, because. You know, because what you think and what you say, that's adding so much. I mean, that's what am I trying to say now? Those are the clues. Just like in soul speak, when the person talks, they're giving so much information just by what
they're going to know a lot about my junk, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, hey, Tracy, you have proven before that you love to be a poster child.
Oh my God. And I, so tomorrow I have a workshop called, what did I call it? Discovering the love within the pain. don't ever do a workshop and name it something that you don't want to go through. So this is all appropriate though. Mm-hmm. And I only bring it up because, you know, so that's tomorrow. And what a perfect day to be cleaning the garage. And it's like, oh, and then today's a new moon. And so energetically, yeah. It was like so many divine steps went into play to create this purging of the garage, which is where everything's been stored.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Overflow storage areas. So holding place while working through clearing unneeded stuff. Yes. Mm-hmm. That was Chris. Chris.
And I like the one saying it's like memories, because that can be a lot of times what you tend to just move.
Totally found a photo album in there from when I was like 22 years old. And I was like, oh, that guy's skinny and cute. Oh. And yeah. And then there was like pictures of my dad and my mom and their youngerness, you know, and not to make that sound like they're gone. They're here. They're still with me. They're still here on the planet. But, you know, dad was making some funny faces in one of the pictures and being silly. And it was just kind of fun to go through that. So yeah, it was kind of reminiscing. Mm-hmm. And it was really getting rid of a lot of things that we didn't need anymore. We had bags of clothes in there that, you know, we had intended to bring to Goodwill and donate, and they had been sitting there. And then, one of my sons moved out and he left a horrendous mess, and we cleaned all that up. Well, not all of that would fit in a garbage can. So it sat there, and every week I'd put a little bit in and kind of thin it out. And it's like, now we just need a dumpster. We had bags of old stuffed animals and I mean, things that were just sitting around for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then there was some bigger objects that needed to go as well, that were kind of stored along the side of the house that, you know, out of sight, out of mind. It's like, oh, I forgot about that thing. And then, so we were just kind of clearing out a lot of stuff. And interestingly enough, I had Josh working in the backyard, extending our patio. So making our living space, our outdoor living and our sanctuary space a little bit bigger,
a nice
little spot for the barbecue to be.
Yeah.
And he has been doing an excellent job at that. And then Jaden and I, we were up front purging out the garage and putting things in the dumpster and in the pickup and clearing out all this space. So very much so clearing the energy. And I think it's interesting because you've been with me along this journey of, okay, I'm going to clear out this room. I'm going to clear out that room. I'm going to tear up this carpet. I'm going to put down this floor. paint, doing all these things to just kind of
my inspiration.
How's that going?
Well, hey, you're inspiring. I'm not necessarily
responding to the inspiration.
Yeah, responding. Yeah. I mean, I'm inspired.
Yay! I'll be your cheerleader. Well, and here's the funny thing. And I love my kids because they take me by surprise. I kept asking Jaden, he's the youngest one. I said, where do you want to go on vacation? It's summertime. I'll take you somewhere. Let's go somewhere. We'll go on vacation every day. Have you been thinking about it? He goes, well, Mom, we got all that workout equipment in the garage and we do. And it's kind of all shoved over to one little side. And you can get to it if you're creative and actually work out.
Oh, okay.
But it is kind of wedged in there and then things keep growing around it.
Not the most conducive.
It's not. And he said, I'll tell you what, instead of spending money on a trip, how about you get that dumpster you always say we need? Get that dumpster and we'll, instead of taking a vacation, we'll clean the garage and set up the gym in the garage.
Oh.
And then we can start using it. And it's like, oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Very clever.
So I order the dumpster and then we go to my sister's for 4th of July. And she goes, oh, I keep forgetting to bring that elliptical over to you. I forgot that was like a couple months ago. She mentioned that they were going to get rid of it and anybody want it. And I was like, sure, we'll find a spot for an elliptical because my garage has so much room right now. Anyways, apparently I told her, yeah, I want that. And
so now your gym is growing because you're already making room for it.
Yeah, because I had already ordered the dumpster. Mm-hmm. And exactly my thoughts. I was like, look at that. Now the gym is growing. So now we're going to have an elliptical and a treadmill. And we have a weight bench thing with all the little pulleys and all of that. And we have pre-weights. And so he's going to set it all up. And that's going to be his thing to do. And it's going to be awesome.
Fantastic.
So, yeah. So we're excited about that. So, okay. I talked about that for 16 minutes. Your turn.
No. Wait a minute. This is the subject tonight. You are not.
That's not it. That's not going to end it there. Okay. Okay. Let's see. We're going to get some more information here. My book says discarded ideas or parts of oneself. Also, cleaning the garage may suggest the need to clean out one's life in those areas that are neglected. And that is exactly right. And that was my point, is that, you know, here I am going through this spiritual purge, and doing these little weekend workshop things. And so it is so appropriate that this garage thing is all showing up. And it was the last room in the house. You know, it's like, well, I've pretty much gone through each room and either cleared closets or repainted or redid this room, that room. I said, the last thing I have to do is that garage. And here we are. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's like this final stage of a journey that I've been on to redo some things in the house. And of course, I'm going to have to go and revamp a couple other areas, but that's what we do, you know, in life too. It's like, okay, go revisit some of this and see if there's any areas to touch up or clean up or, you know, do whatever. But anyways, it's been interesting. Okay, let's see. Garage, motivation, drive. Hold on, there's more to that one. It's
it motivation and drive because the car sits in there?
When the car is parked, where are you going? When the car is parked, where are you going? Nowhere. Do you feel, well, we don't even have the car in there.
That's not the plan, huh?
That's not happening. Okay, so, okay, do you feel like you are parked in your life with no destination or motivation to get there? Stability and security. Having a garage often means a sign of stability and security, as you have a safe place to keep the car. Do you frequently choose safe options or overly risky ones? Well, I kind of think I'm a safe person.
I don't have a garage. What does that mean?
Not grounded. You're not. I don't know.
Oh. I have no safe place. Not.
You have no safe
place. My home. My safe place is right
here. Oh, sorry. You were being serious. That's sweet.
I was like, well, what does that mean? I am always safe. I am always protected.
Okay, so let's see. Julia's putting in here, not you, Julia, but audience, Julia.
Okay.
It's where I store my past and even the holiday boxes for Easter and Halloween and Christmas, holding vibrations from the past. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You guys are good at this. I like it.
See, and what you're doing is you're changing that from being a storage place to a garage to actually being a room.
Yeah, the functional room. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not storing anything there. No more. Getting rid of the baggage.
Well, see, she's not going to have a garage either after this.
No, I'm going to have a gym.
Yeah.
I like this one. It's an extra security portal to our kitchen.
that's true.
I like it.
Uh-huh.
So
I go along with that being a safe place.
Yeah.
So
To eat.
Again, I do not have a garage. What does
Well, but you do have a spot where a garage could go, and you pull into that space where you park. You're just so open.
That's what it is.
Yeah, you're just so open, and you don't need all that protection around you.
Yeah, I don't. That's probably it. I don't feel like I need protective barriers.
No. Mm-hmm. No. Not even from the bear.
Because I have had the option, at least putting a carport out there or something, and I just haven't.
Yeah.
I'm in the country. This is country life. You don't need to have
houses. I'm going to tell you from experience, if you could find Julia's house, that would be its own miracle.
Mm-hmm. And so then make it a challenge.
And then if you could get down her driveway without her or her dog hearing you, that would be win number two. Mm-hmm. I don't think that would happen. So, yeah.
Or just making it down the driveway, although the driveway is much better now. So,
right.
Mm-hmm. That was a challenge.
What do you think that means? Do you think that that means you're more open to people coming your direction? Whereas before it was choppy. You're like in resistance. Well, don't come here.
I mean, people were still coming. It made it a real experience. You know, man,
they're still coming. They just had to work harder to get
here. They had to work really hard. I had to apologize. But it's from the rains. And then.
Yeah, it washes out the roads. I got to experience that. Mm-hmm. Not the rains, but the washout part, because we came after the rain.
Well, it rains that hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's normal rain. It's fine. It holds up. But we call them gully washes. You know, it's a rain that just pours, and you might get like several inches in an hour. I mean, that's a pouring rain, and that is where your flash floods come from and things like that. And I mean, and they pick up and carry the road somewhere else. And yeah.
Okay. So here's our new challenge.
Okay.
I probably shouldn't have said, if you can find Julia's house, that's one thing. Because now Erica says, that sounds like a fun Where's Waldo game to me. All right, Erica. Challenge on. Go find Julia. Go see if you can find her. Because I tried.
I'll give you a clue. GPS is
will not get you
there. Barely correct.
You might find some nice people as you knock on doors that are not Julia's door. They will not be. And unless you know where to look.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought I was all cocky. I was all cocky going, okay, Julia, I found you. And she's like, well, okay, so do you see this? And I'm like, well, maybe this area over here is what she's talking about. And she's like, do you see that? And, oh, no, I did not find Julia. So,
no.
It's not.
No, no. I was a little further from where you were.
A little, yeah. So, anyway.
But I am where they want me to be. They specifically told me to be here.
Do you want to explain that?
Yeah, they, okay. My guidance team, because it was so funny because when I was doing everything, the construction people, they're like, you know, we could put your house up by the road. I'm like, yeah, but that's not where I'm at. But it was just like, it was so strong. I would, as I was planning for this, and I was like, well, where am I going to put the house? What am I going to do? And I'd be walking down the road because I kept feeling I wanted it to be, well, actually, I wasn't even sure then, but they just specifically told me it's over there. And they were like, this far down. And then I asked one time, why there? I mean, I love it, but yeah. They're like, you need to be able to get that.
Oh, it'd be so grounding and so,
yeah,
you're just surrounded by trees and nature and deer
in the middle of the trees. I mean, there's I'm completely surrounded by trees. If that helps you search any, Erica,
she's surrounded by trees. Clue. That's your clue. Mm-hmm. Good luck.
I'm on the third bench.
I don't even know what that means. So good luck again.
You'll only know that if you live, maybe if you live in the country or live in this neck of the woods. I'm going to really get hick on you.
Neck of the woods.
In this neck of the woods.
Clues. She says that's helpful.
Oh, good.
Okay. Well, we do like a good challenge. And so that's a good one. Definitely fun. But when you say I'm surrounded by woods, it just makes me laugh a little because everything in Arkansas is the woods.
Exactly. That's why that was funny. Because It's like everybody's surrounded by woods, by trees.
Good luck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So unless you're in town.
Right.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of trees around town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very green state. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. So very good. Okay, let's see if there's anything else. If you guys have any questions you would like Julia to tune into tonight, she loves it when I do that and put her on the spot. So you know,
I knew she was going to do that. I'm ready.
Yes.
But
okay.
Oh, so my gosh. I have a
question. No. Okay. I don't think I do. Do I? I don't have a question.
That's very unusual.
It is. I don't know. I feel so cleared out right now.
There you go. So you moved all your memories. Yeah. You emptied them out.
Oh no. I don't even want to ask you this one, but because I feel obligated now that I put it out there for everyone. Yeah, Julia, why not write another book? Why not?
You know, I was just thinking about that like yesterday. That's funny. You're reading my mind. Because I know earlier in the year we had Tamara on and she was saying in the horoscope, or I'm not sure what she's calling it.
No.
Yeah. It was like, this year you will write a book. I mean, it was all over the place. You will write a book. And I'm just, I'm ready for it. But I'm like, nothing is coming. In fact, I woke up at 4:30 this morning. And that's when all this conversation, it was like in my mind going, remember, you're supposed to be writing a book sometime. And I'm like, okay, I don't even know what it's supposed to be. Hey guys, give me ideas of what you would like to see.
Like her to write a book about.
Yeah, that would help me. It really would.
Because that's a spirit animal book.
Hmm?
Do a spirit animal book.
That does not resonate.
I like that you contemplated, though. That was good.
Yeah, but I'm trying to, because I'm feeling into it. And it's like, is that something that I could, you know, and it's like, I mean, I could.
Here's a topic that, why we're waiting. Teach us how to hone our skills of perception. Okay. So last week we talked about Arkansas and the trip and the stones. We got the crystals. We've got all this magic around us, but we didn't talk about the journey home. So the flights.
Oh, we missed that. Oh. Did we say
we ran out of time?
We were saying we're going to have to do that on another show, didn't we?
No, we ran out of time.
That was a whole other thing.
And and I had a little chat with Leah today, just briefly. And she was saying that it was such a magical trip. And then she got brought right back into 3D with the Dallas airport. And I said, you know what? I had something similar happen, but I felt like I was watching 3D and 5D happening at the same time. And I got to choose which one I wanted to be in. Do I want to stand in this line over here or take a chance and go over here and have a different experience?
Yeah.
And what
happened with you was magical.
Very much so.
Magical.
Well, we know the magic is real.
Yes.
So
it is. I was there. I saw it.
Hashtag moment.
I was part of it. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in the middle of this happening. Ah,
it's happening. It's happening now. Mm-hmm. Okay. So while, your journey, Julia, that's one of the ideas for a book, your journey.
Okay.
Density and dimensions, are they the same?
Okay.
So here I am. I'm supposed to leave on Sunday night, right? And we went to Eureka Springs. That's where we were leaving everybody off last week. And so I'm dropping Leah off at the airport and she's flying out of Fayetteville and I'm driving out of Fort Smith. Mm-hmm. So I drop her off and she gets delayed, gets to Dallas. Did she missed her connecting flight, right?
I think so. I think she missed that leg, and that's why she had to stay overnight in Dallas.
Yeah, so she had to stay the night there. So she got a hotel room, got out the next morning, finally made it home, kissed the ground when she got there. Like, oh my gosh, what a journey. So me, drop her off, whistling Dixie, driving through the pretty countryside, going to my airport. I get there, walk in. And nobody's there because it's like an 8:30 p.m. flight. And so I go up to the little thing to drop my keys off for the car. And I fill out their little thing. I throw it all in the box, run to the restroom, come out. And I thought, oh, I better check and make sure they didn't change my gate. And I pull up my app for the flight, and they're in big red letters, canceled. And I'm sitting there trying to push it because that can't be right.
No, that can't
be right. You ever have that moment where it's like, no, that cannot be right. No, I'm going to just wish that to not be real. And I just kept pushing it, and it just would not open up and show me a ticket. So I took my phone. Now, remember, I'm very animated on this trip, and I'm not sure, you know, it's very much an animated trip. So I go up to the security people at the TSA check-in, and I show them my phone. And I said, that says it's canceled.
What
am I supposed to do? And they weren't friendly about it. They were like, it's canceled. Go get a new flight.
Duh. Read your phone, lady.
Right. It says it's canceled. What do you want us to do? We're not letting you in. You don't have a valid ticket. So I go, I'm like, well, where do I go? Come on, people, help me out here. Where do I go? I am in a panic. I turned my car in. So they say, go over.
Be canceled.
Go over to the booth, and they pointed my way. And so I go walking over there, and there's this other family, and we're like the only ones that exist on the planet at this point. And everyone else disappeared. It was like God himself took everyone off the planet except for me and that other family, right? And we waited and we waited and we waited and we waited and we waited. Finally, and I called you in that time too, and you were very heroic. I will come get you. You just say the word and I will come get you. I said, that's it. Well, at the time I thought it was like an hour and a half, but I forgot about the extended drive to your wilderness. And so it was about a 2-hour drive. I'm like, I don't want to do that to you. Let me see if I can get our flight tonight. Finally, these two gentlemen come up, and they were really helpful because they were a little bit jokey, and I can respond to that. And so they're like, were you part of that horrible, horrible cancellation?
Yes.
Joe. And my raccoon eyes. And so he's like, well, come on over here. Let's see what we can do. And so I said, if it helps at all, I can fly out of Fayetteville. And he goes, oh my gosh, you have no idea how much that's going to help. So he gets on the thing and he's like saying, we have no flights out of here for 2 days. So I would have been in Arkansas for 2 more days. Mm-hmm. Not a big deal. I would have just crashed on Julia's couch and mm-hmm. played with
Rocket.
Yeah, not a big deal. She didn't know that I was inviting myself to do that, but that's okay. I would have informed her at some point why I was there. Yeah. And so anyways, but he gets me on Fayetteville the next day. So that's great. So boom, Julia, superhero driver, comes out, saves Tracy, who is now literally the only soul in the airport, to the point where the two gentlemen that helped me walked mm-hmm. over, gave me a can of soda because there was nothing to drink. And the one guy had two. He goes, I have two cans. Do you want one? And I was like, you guys take such good care of me. So he opened it, licked it, gave it to me. No, I'm just kidding. You didn't do that. Anyway, so he gives me the soda. And, you know, the airports are very strict about the mask, right? Mm-hmm. And he looks at me and he goes, seriously, you're the only one here. Take off the mask. Like, thank you. I take it off. I'm like, the last thing I want to do is get kicked out of the one place that's getting me home. So I'm not going to take it off. So anyways, I got to sit there with no mask on, and you were on your way. The Calvary was on its way. And beautiful Summer was saying, Mama Tracy, if you need me, come get you. I will come get you. I will not mm-hmm. abandon you in that airport. So yeah. I felt really supported in those moments. But I'm going to make sure that we don't have anything else I need to read here. Oh, write a fiction storybook. Just make up an incredible story. I think you could do that really well, actually. Yeah. I would encourage you to write about like a water world, maybe.
Oh. Mm.
Hmm. You're on to something, Lenny. Hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So
fiction that's not so fiction.
Right? I'm looking at my time too, because I know that I tell these stories in really long form. It just interrupt me if I'm getting too talky. So Julia gives me another extraordinary morning. We get to eat at Granny's one more time, right? We did do that on the next day.
Yeah, we went back to Granny.
We went back to Granny's. And then I got to see the girls again. And off we went to the airport.
Round two.
And at this point, I am in a group text with Leah and Summer and Jenny and Julia, and we're all like, this is happening. It was almost like a sports game or something. It's like, Team Tracy, we're going to get her off the ground, right?
Yeah, I think you literally flew. We were all flapping the wings. Yeah,
everybody's doing this. And mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to get you going. And by this time, Leah's home, so we're like cheering for her too. Yay! Yeah. Mm-hmm. Leah made it. So it's kind of like, yeah, like pushing the little birdies out of the nest. This one landed. Yay. So I get to the airport and I'm giving them updates. You know, it's like, I'm through the gate. This is good news. Nothing's canceled yet. I'm sitting at the gate watching. We have an airplane. I think I told you guys that too. And then I was like, we have a 10-minute delay. It's okay. I can still make my connecting flight. We're good. And then they put us on the airplane. That got exciting. I'm on the airplane. Everybody's getting the play-by-plays. They're probably just like, really seriously, have you never flown before, Tracy? So, I mean, it was just getting that exciting. And it's like, then it got real. Yeah. We took off. We were in the air. We were in the air. And I'm sitting there going, oh, my gosh. I'm going to make my connecting flight. Mm-hmm. Everything's good. We're in the air. And I'm relaxing. And I had this sweet little girl next to me that's going off to California to go to college. And she was talking to me about, you know, doing all of that. And it just was, we're in the air. And then the flight attendant comes by and she gives us some beverages and little pretzels to dry
our mouth out. Everything's looking normal.
Everything looks normal. And then we get the announcement. Sorry, folks, there's thunderstorms in Dallas. We're not going to be able to land and we're running out of fuel. So we got to land in back down in Fayetteville and refuel. And then, so we're thinking, oh my God, we got to turn around and fly back. Now, so this is something and I'm sure somebody in the audience is going to go, oh yeah, they do that, right? But I have never, ever had this experience. We never left Fayetteville.
That's okay. I could like, why are you going back to Fayetteville?
Yeah.
Surely there's some place between there and Dallas to get fuel. I mean, I was so confused.
I was like, what the heck? Well, you were confused. Try being on the airplane. We're all like, we had just been flying for like an hour or something. And we thought we were going to be landing. And pretty soon mm-hmm. it's like, well, folks, we're going back to Fayetteville. So then we think we're flying for another hour to get back. But no, he's like, prepare the cabin for landing. I'm like, I thought he just said we're going back to Fayetteville. And this flight attendant said we never left. We've been flying in circles, waiting for our opportunity to, waiting for the storm to pass so we could go to Dallas. Oh, my gosh. So now we got to go refuel. And so we're in one of the smaller little commuter airplanes, you know, so one of the little smaller ones. And so there's no charging, no way to charge your phones. There's no way to, and not even in the back. Like I tried bribing the flight attendant with food, saying, I'll give you my snacks if I can plug my phone in. She goes, I'll take your snacks, but I have no way to plug your phone in. There is nothing back here. She goes, the only thing I have, and she even offered it to me. The only thing I have is my external battery charger she brought with her. And she goes, there's not much charge left on it, but you can use it if you want. Super sweet. I didn't use it. I didn't want to take her battery. So I took the lady in front of me. I took hers.
Yeah. She had enough.
They landed us back in Fayetteville and we sat there for like, I think it was about 4 hours in that plane. And they had already served us all the beverages and pretzels. And one of the guys was in the plane. He was having a very 3-day experience. Mm-hmm. And he was, oh my God, I'm hungry. And people were throwing him chips and, oh my God, I'm thirsty. And everyone's like, yeah, none of us have water.
Yeah, I can help you there.
Yeah. And so the flight attendant did have a little bit of water left. And so she gave him some water, but it was like, you know, we're all on this, on this plane, dude. We're all having the same experience. You're mm-hmm. not alone. We're all getting through this together. And everybody was really pretty much in really good spirits, right? Mm-hmm. And so for the most part, we're all interacting and talking and sharing. Well, where were you going? Where are you heading? And people were like, hey, are you going to be able to make your connecting flight? I don't think so. Oh, mine just got delayed. You know, we're all just sitting there like watching, like we're waiting for lottery numbers to be pulled. And if your plane got delayed, your connecting flight got delayed, it was kind of like a woohoo moment. And so we were all kind of bonding. And okay, so I do have to watch my time because we don't have. Okay, so anyway, so we're all kind of bonding, but we do have this one guy that's a little bit disgruntled and having a hard time and getting a little uncomfortable being on the plane for so long. And I can't blame him. It was a long time to mm-hmm. be on the plane. Mm-hmm. Longer story short, we finally get to take off again, right? And my battery.
Let's give him some credit too. I think that was his first time flying, wasn't it?
It was his first time flying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was very loud
the first time. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a very bad experience, but apparently he had another flight he was supposed to be on. He just didn't get to the airport in time. And so they put him on that one. So didn't really feel as bad for him when I found that out. I was like, uh-huh. dude, you could have been on a different flight and you would have already been where you were supposed to be. You mm-hmm. should have set your alarm. mm-hmm. So we were supposed to have him on our flight because it was part of the 3D experience, right? Because he was really having a 3D experience. But here's this guy sitting behind me. I had you and Jenny and Summer and anyone in God's creation looking flights up for me because I knew I was going to miss my connecting flight. Yeah. So you guys were all trying to find me the next one. And I was like, what happened to the flight that was at 11:30? Mm-hmm. There was one that was supposed to be at 11:30 that night.
There were no flights.
None of us could find it. No. And so then the guy behind me, he was telling the guy that it was on this flight for the first time. He goes, he knew that he was going to need some help. And he was super sweet. And he was like, hey, you know, when you get to the other airport, tell him you want to get on this flight. And he had him write it down or something mm-hmm. or put it in his phone. And I looked at him, I said, so is there any chance you could look on your phone to see what you get from Dallas to Portland? And he did. And he pulls it up and it shows the 11:30 flight. He said, screenshot that quick. So I was like, mm-hmm. I cannot get that to pull up on my phone. Screenshot that and send it to me. So he sent it to me. Lifesaver, absolute mm-hmm. lifesaver. So that was miracle number one. Well, just being with a group of people that were actually pretty cool people was its own thing. And they were the guy sitting in the row next to me. He kept showing me he had a tablet that was fully charging. He knew my phone was going dead. So he would show me the updates that were happening on his iPad. And so they were all good people. We finally get up in the air. We finally get to Dallas, right? So we're going to just buzz through the fact that there was things that happened there too. So we get to Dallas, we get off the plane and they're like, okay, if you need to reschedule a connecting flight, you got to go over to 28B. And so we all go running over to 28B and then we stand there and there's these two guys up front and it was a really long line and we're all standing in the line and we all kind of know each other now because we've been on this flight together. And the loud guy decides that's the best time to call his buddy and FaceTime with him. And he's standing right behind me. I'm dehydrated. I'm tired. I'm wanting to get up there and get this resolved. And I want to make sure I get on that other flight because I'm afraid that the seats are like, it's going to get booked and I'm going to be here for 2 days. And so, because that's what my phone was showing me 2 days out. I couldn't pick anything for the next day. It was 2 days out. So that's why I was stressing out going, can you guys look? So, mm-hmm. So I end up with this other gentleman, Blake. He's standing there with me and he was trying to get to his daughter's birthday. So I was feeling bad for him. And he was like, I said, man, my phone is almost dead. And he goes, mine too. And I said, there's a charger right over there. I'll hold our spot in line. Will you go charge your phones? And I give him my charger, my phone. And he's like, you trust me with that? I said, totally, dude. We just spent like 5 hours together. You know, we're like this now. And so he went over and he's charging the phone. He was a fun guy too. And so he's charging the phone and he comes back and he goes, man, it's 9:00 and the flight that I'm trying to get on is like 9:40. And we're looking, if we had been there 10, 15 minutes at this point, just standing there, And it's still the same two guys standing at the front with the lady.
Not moving.
Not moving. So 3D. We're standing there getting a little stressed out. And it's like, okay, this is getting stressy because mine's supposed to be at 11:30. And by the time I get up there, I hope, one, that there's still a flight available, and two, that there's still time. This is moving so slow. Yeah. So I said, you know what? I wonder what would happen if you just walked up there and asked really quick if there's somewhere else, somebody else that's doing this also, so because you need to get on that flight. So because you need to get to your daughter. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, I don't know. I don't want to cut in front of everybody. I said, you're not cutting in front. You're just going up and asking a question. And everyone else that was sitting there, they're all kind of like, yeah, go do it. You know, we're all sympathizing with him. So he goes bebopping up to the front of the line, and those two guys, they see him, they both step aside, they let him in. He walks right up and he talks to the gal, and she's like, yeah, you should be able to get on that flight. And he's like, well, is there anyone else that can help me? And she's like, well, I don't know. And it's like, this is why there's still two guys standing up there that never moved. I don't know what was happening there, but she wasn't saying, okay, I can't help you right now, so step aside so I can get the other 500 people that are in the line, you know? And so he said, well, is anybody else doing this? And she said, well, I think the guy on 30B is also doing these. So he come back and he's like, I got to go try it. And I said, tell you what, if it doesn't work out, I got your spot. You're right here. I'll stay here. So, but if it does, text me and I give him my number. So he runs off. Next thing I know, I get a text. There's only two people in this line. So me and a couple others, we all went over there, and I had the screenshot of my flight. Yeah. So I went over there and I gave the guy my screenshot. I said, can I get on this flight? And he goes, well, what was your other flight number? I gave him my other information. Type, print. There you go. Boom. I was on the flight and I was just like, did that just happen?
Well, and if you guys didn't fully capture that, she had a bunch of us looking for flights. That flight was not there. I truly believe that flight somehow just manifested.
And it was being held for me. Yeah. It wasn't showing up anywhere else. So nobody else hopefully was finding it either. Yeah. But and then I end up going and waiting at my terminal for that one. And I'm chatting with this really super nice lady that lives not far from me that, you know, she does real estate and all this, which I used to be in the real estate business as well. And so I'm chit chatting with her. Then we get on the plane and she ends up being in the seat next to me. I was like, hey, I'm going to sleep on this flight, but it's nice that you're here. We know each other. We're comfortable. Anyway, so everything that got me home, synchronicities, you know, here we are having this 3D experience, taking the leap of faith, and then we end up with the 5D experience. Boom, boom. Both of us got on our flights. That gentleman got on his flight. He's like, I'm on my plane now. Because I was thanking him for running up there, for letting me know. Mm-hmm. And he goes, yeah, I'm on my flight. Good luck. And off he went. So, I mean, it was just so much synchronicity. And it was this group that just stayed in a positive place. Mm-hmm. And the funny part is I get my ticket. I know where I'm supposed to go. I'm walking off and into the sunset, right, to go to my terminal. And here's loud talking guy that's totally in his 3D experience. And he's just wandering around, just talking on the phone still with somebody. I'm just thinking, dude, he's in his own little vortex. He's in his own little world. But I don't think he had any clue the effect he was having on the other people, because we were all just like beat and tired. And he's just like, blah. I mean, I won't even talk like he was. I mean, some of it was just so rude. And it's like, some people have kids here, guy, you know, and it's like, he was just oblivious to, I don't even think he was oblivious. I think he just thought he was funny. And so he thought everybody wanted to hear it because he thought he was funny. And it was like, oh, yeah. Anyways, Dallas, it was interesting because you could see the duality of it right there. You could see if I had stayed in the other line, it would have probably been stressed out and really worried and maybe would not have even gotten on that flight.
Probably. Exactly.
But following, you know, collaborating and working together, and we find this other thing, and the guy behind me gave me the information I needed to get through that click, click, click. Here's the flight number. This is what I need. Oh, yeah, we can get you on that. Boom. You're on your way.
He had them. It was so smooth. He was on his iPad.
Not that one. That one was the other guy was, the guy that was behind me. So the guy beside me had the iPad and he was keeping me posted on things too. He probably would have looked it up for me too. Blake with the magic phone. Well, Blake didn't have the magic phone. Blake was the one. No, this took a collaboration of a lot of people.
Oh, I thought it was Blake. I was thinking the screenshot that was done. Wait a minute. So who did the screenshot?
No, the screenshot was the couple behind me in the airplane.
Oh, okay.
And I even asked him if he was a pilot because he seemed to know so much about the flights and everything. And he's like, no, I'm not a pilot. And he was just, everybody was just so friendly. And so, and that was one of the things I told you about getting there is like, I feel like I got to experience people in stressful situations being the best versions of themselves.
Yeah, wait, it was really that coming out here too. You said,
yeah, that's what I was saying. And I got to see it again going home. Mm-hmm. I got to see people that were like, okay, this person needs help. And they just jumped in and helped them.
Yeah.
And so I felt like I got, and I was telling you that when I got to Arkansas, yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, I sat by these people where, you know, they saw somebody was struggling. They jumped up, they helped them. They moved some stuff around. They made things fit and they took the stress mm-hmm. away for that person. And it was just neat to watch that.
Absolutely. So I want to take a little bit. So it's like, I want to pull this into a learning thing, whatever we got, you know, something to take away from this. And like you're saying, you're seeing both worlds. Here's 3D and the 5D. And see, at any point you could have gotten completely emotionally invested in the 3D with his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Could have gone there and gotten all mad at him and been in the same vibration, but you didn't. And see, that every person had that choice to mm-hmm. do that. So like you're saying, the duality was there. So I think that's a wonderful takeaway.
And yeah.
You may see it. It doesn't mean you have to be invested in it.
Yeah. And so people are like, well, where's 5D? And it's like, it's right here. Mm-hmm. I'm in an airport and I can stand in the line and have the 3D experience, or I can take that other leap of faith and go find 30B and boom, boom, boom. And then I'm over and I'm having soft pretzels and a lemonade and I'm people watching and I've got an hour and a half before my flight leaves, you know? And so, and I had a whole different experience. I got to meet the nice lady that ended up sitting next to me and hearing about her journey. They went to, not the Keys, Bahamas or something like that. Mm-hmm. Anyways, they went on a nice family trip and she was telling me about that. And, yeah. And I got to have a nice, more laid back experience. And then another version of that too was, again, I wanted to plug my phone in to continue charging it, which was good because even that flight on the bigger airplane did not have a jack to plug it in.
5D so, doesn't have chargers yet.
No, 5D does not have a way to charge your phone.
Because you have your own energy. We don't.
Right. I should have just been like holding on to the, but I go up to the little table thing that they have where you can plug in your laptops and sit mm-hmm. and stuff. And I was going to go sit there and this poor gentleman, he's sitting there, he's looking stressed out. And this gal walks by him and goes, they changed it again. And he goes, what? They changed the terminal again? And he has to grab all of his stuff and unplug his thing. And he's running after her. And I'm thinking, okay, you know what that did for me? Oh, they're changing the terminals a lot. So I kept watching my phone. They changed mine 3 times. Wow. I wouldn't have known to watch my phone for that.
No.
I would have probably had the same experience as I did the day before going, oh, shoot, I'm in the wrong terminal and have to take off like he did. And so I was like, even that was like, oh.
That's why you stay aware. Things are for reasons, you know, and you're like, oh, you might not understand it at the time, but they are always trying to communicate, you know, you will get your messages.
So even that took the stress away because I just knew to watch. And then it's like, oh, look, they changed it. It's not A21. Now it's A23. So I get over to A23 and I find a good spot and I'm sitting there for a while. And then, oh, look, they changed it again, but it's A24, which is just right there. So I'm fine still where I'm at, you know, and it was relaxing. It wasn't, oh my God, they changed it again, you know? So that was good.
Okay.
Are we out of time?
But can you talk very, very quickly about your workshop tomorrow? Is it remote?
Oh, yeah, it's through Zoom. And you can find that information on my website, tracymahan.com. It is 1 hour and it's $30. come join us. It is Discovering the Love Through the Pain, and it is part of a series. The other, there's two more that I've already done that are on my website that you can get, and you don't have to do them in any certain order. And they're just about falling in love with yourself, you know, finding self-love and what a journey that's been. And I have to tell you, I just feel like every time I move through another one of these, and it has not been a fun journey. I've had a lot of emotional stuff come up. I've been purging some things, but I also feel like I'm getting more into a childlike response to the life and to the world, and really getting more into that giddiness of it. So the good is coming with the bad. We're shedding it. Anyways, Julia, quick.
JuliaCannon.com, QHHTOfficial.com. Get there, whatever you want. Get what you want. We have to go.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for being here.